Hey, welcome back, everyone. So we watched number 9. This is Jeremy. Shahid's joining me. What's going on, friend?
Hey, nothing much. Just enjoying a time off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, see, as I explained on the audio experience with Dusty last week, my computer issues were compounded with Shahid taking over being a stand-up guy and taking one for the team at work. So he's got a goofy schedule, so we're trying to get these out as we can. So, you know, it also helps when we both see a movie at the same time for a change. That's a good one, too. So, I think I'm trying to figure out, what did we watch last time? Was it Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, that's the last show we did.
Okay, so that was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think after that, I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We didn't do a show that week. And then this past weekend, we both saw Sin City.
Yep.
And I saw The Expendables.
Expendables 3, sir.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's not confuse the marketplace.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I want to think I just got around to the first one. Yes. Expendables 3.
Okay. So real quick, how was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? We'll start from last week.
It was fine. Like I said, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was fine. It was serviceable. It was fun. And it fit the demographic it was going towards. It was inoffensive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people hold that franchise like near and dear.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't get it either. That the comic book was not the same as the cartoon. I didn't read the comic, but I knew enough about it to where the cartoon was actually, or the comic was pretty violent.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't eat pizza. They didn't have different. Was it
mask color? They were all the same mask. So yeah. I think it's just more like a nostalgia thing because I remember growing up around that time. Like my cousins were super big in the Ninja Turtles, and they were big. Like I remember that first movie. Like that movie made a lot of money for that time frame, and it was kind of like a decent dark movie, like a lot darker than the cartoon was. And then the second one was what it was, kind of cheesy. Third one was horrible, but I remember when we went to see it, it was a long line for it, and it was mostly kids because they have their own cartoon, and it's actually decent. So I think people kind of forget that part. They think it's just a more like a nostalgia thing, and it's kind of like, Ninja Turtles still out, and people still watch the cartoon. So there you go.
Yeah. When you told me that there was a new cartoon for it, I had no clue.
Yeah, I think it's on like season 3. Matter of fact, it comes on Nickelodeon.
Oh, wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
I automatically assume when they put a new cartoon of any sort out, it's either on that Disney, was it XD,
mm-hmm.
or Cartoon Network. But
it's on Nickelodeon. Like, I try to keep up with it. I've watched a few episodes of it, and it's a pretty good cartoon. Like, it has its own nice visual style. It has, like, a season story arc that goes toward each season, and then they have like his own standalone episodes. So it's definitely decent. Like the movie was fine. It was kind of, the only weird thing was how the Ninja Turtles themselves. They were kind of, I know it's past the time where we have them like in, rubber suits and everything. They look like they were on steroids. They just look so big and realistic. Like it was, what they call the uncanny valley, mm-hmm. where it comes so real, it's kind of disturbing. That's how it looked. Like they looked like real huge, muscled up turtles, and it was kind of unnerving a little bit. So,
well, isn't that kind of a criticism of Michael Bay movies? Like everything's got to be hyper realistic, like hyper dark. And I know he didn't direct it, but he was one of the producers of it.
I think it was more. It didn't throw me off as much. Like Transformers is a robot, so I don't really worry about it too much because even a realistic robot's not going to be all that realistic because it's a car transformed to a robot.
Yeah,
it was just weird seeing like a anamorphic turtle, with his lips moving and eyebrows and sweat dripping off his head. And it's kind of like, it's CGI, but it looks just like disturbingly realistic. And then you see around normal people, if you call Megan Fox normal, it's weird. it was fine. Like I said, it wasn't, if you don't see it, you won't miss anything. It wasn't like the worst thing ever. It didn't, destroy the storyline and all that mess. And so it was fine.
Yeah, it didn't have the appeal to me at all. Like, I didn't care about it either way. I know I like reading some things, you would think it isn't that like the term now, like my childhood's been raped or whatever, for which is, you know, obviously pretty ridiculous. But I didn't have any sort of like, oh God, I can't believe they're doing this, like sort of deal. It was just, okay, is what it is. Here's another movie. And it just, it's, so I just, I don't even know how I would have reacted to seeing the movie.
Yeah, I think if it's kind of like if that's not something you grew up on, you wouldn't necessarily like. My wife saw it with me. She didn't grow up on Ninja Turtles. She was like, "Oh, some movie, it was fine. Some stuff didn't make any sense to her because there was like a lot of stuff going on." But it's kind of like, you know, she had a decent time. I do like the fact that they made Shredder just this ultimate badass, and I always liked that. Like, basically, he never lost a fight in the whole movie,
Oh.
except for. I think, yeah, except for near the end when a building was blowing up. But other than that, like every single fight he had, he just beat the turtle's ass. And they fought like two or three times, and it wasn't even close. So, beyond, you know, it was a decent movie. I'm glad I saw it. And of
So,
course, I have a sequel. So,
yeah, well, it's like all those movies now, they're always.
if you make a profit, so, and it opens up, and the way the storyline has it, it's easy to have a sequel. So,
I was watching, and they what was it? I lost my train of thought, so never mind. I don't know. It's oh, I was gonna go back to when you talk about the originals. I saw the original in the theater with a packed house, and this is before stadium seating, so that's how long ago. And then I remember watching it, going, "This wasn't a bad movie, like the original, even with the goofy rubber suits and all that." And then I've never seen the second one, The Secret of the Ooze. Never seen it. I had no idea. I have no idea what it's about. None of that stuff. But
Don't see it.
okay, when you were talking about Shredder being a badass, how did that work? Like, how does he get defeated? And I guess that kind of goes to like seeing the other ones where they always found a way.
I
So
think
it seems kind of anti-heroic to not win, I guess.
it was not so much. I kind of like he got tripped. It's like that whole other villain thing where you have somebody so good, usually they trip up. Like, you know, I forgot exactly what. I think something happened, like a building blew up, and yeah, and then they worked together. Like all four of the turtles and April teamed up and like knocked them off a building.
Oh,
After the
okay.
building was destroyed, so. Like it made sense in the storyline, but the way they built up Shredder through the whole thing, like Splinter was the only person that kind of kept up with him because they made him like, you know, he could beat up the turtles by himself. We know he's an old ass rat.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What are the questions? Oh, the other question I have, and I'm curious how you felt about this. Wasn't Shredder Japanese? Now, was he in the movie?
Yes, he
Okay,
was.
so what's his name? Yeah, so he's not actually Shredder then.
No, he's and I was wondering about that because I remember when they first did the casting, they were making a big deal that he was supposed to be Shredder, and I
Right.
remember you pointed out like he's not. He's like the other villain in the movie. He's basically like, you know, he's this army brat that got trained by Shredder when he was a kid, so they work hand in hand. Like it fits the story. So
Okay,
that's
so he's kind of like Christopher Walken
yeah.
in okay. But was he as unnecessary as Christopher Walken in Batman Returns?
No, because he's kind of like, you know, you can relate to him more from a villain standpoint. Like you need like kind of like that whole like Shredder's whole thing was, you know, I just want to take over the city and I'm working with my student. He can go ahead and get paid. Like the other guy was kind of like, you know, I'm gonna poison the city and then sell the cure to make money was his whole thing.
Okay.
So it fit. And then his whole thing was he was responsible for the turtles becoming the turtles. Because he did the original research on them. Like the one thing I kind of people complained about was like everything was kind of tied together. Like all these disparate people were all related somehow. Like somehow April's dad worked with this guy, and she's the one that saved the turtles and pushed them in the sewer when a lab burned down. And then somehow these four turtles in the lab became the Ninja Turtles. And then 20 years later, or 15 years later, they happened to run into April. Like, oh, everyone knows that. Everyone knows each other in this big ass city. So, one of those things.
Okay. We could go on with that, but the way you ended that is a perfect way to get into the movie we both watched this week. You said it's a big ass city. Everyone runs into each other. We're going to talk about Sin City, a movie apparently 44 people in the country saw this weekend. So this is really, of course. So let's talk about that first. We'll talk about quality if it's a good movie after. Is that a surprise how little box office this did?
Not. I thought it would do more. I wouldn't expect it to do a lot because just one, it was not. I didn't realize how long ago the first one came out 9 years ago.
Yeah, that surprised me too.
And it's always kind of sketchy when you do a sequel that long. Like I know they didn't plan on it taking that long. It's just a lot of stuff kept happening that dragged it out. And then, you know, you don't have the whole newness factor that you had with the first one. So it's kind of like when they explained it was a sequel happening, people were excited about it. But then it's kind of got to a point where, you know, is it really necessary? Like, you know, especially as time goes by. Having said that, just the fact that it, what, number seven, number eight, like, it, I didn't think it would be number one. I didn't think it would bomb like the way it did. I'll say that much. But I'm not surprised after, you know, just because it had a lot of things going against it.
What was against it? What did it run into?
Well, first of all, it's the whole, it had the time frame of it. You know, it's 9 years later. And then you have the fact that, you know, a lot of people from the first one is not necessarily in this one.
Right.
And then it's just, it's an August movie. It's a rated R movie. You know, you still have, like, the top movies are still, like, the PG-13 movies people going to see, like Ninja Turtles and Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's just, I think it's just a fact of, you know, even if something wanted to see, like, was it really necessary? Like, after you saw the first one, you know, was it dying to see it? It wasn't like it was any loose ends or anything like that. It's kind of, you know, I guess it's, they had one and they brought it back in this movie. It was kind of like, when I saw the first one, I remember I was in college. I remember how cool and cutting edge it is and everything like that. And the same problem with The Matrix, you know, when you do it the first time, it's awesome. But after everyone else has done it, unless you're going to do it a lot better, it's kind of like, even if it's good, it's not the same. And we're not talking about if they made the second one, like, you know, 2 years later, even 3 years later, like 9 years is 9 years.
Yeah.
It's a long ass time.
Well, I know that they had a problem getting financing for not only the original, but this one as well. So I think that was a part of it. And then Frank Miller went on and made The Spirit.
Oof. Yeah, I saw that too.
So I'm thinking that had something to do with it as well. It was the same looking technology, and that movie was utter garbage.
Yeah.
And so I think that had something to go against it. Frank Miller's name doesn't carry weight with a comic audience anymore as well.
Yeah, he kind of, from what I recall, kind of fell off the rails.
Well, everyone, people like to mix people's political views in with the work that they do. And I know that he was outspoken about what was that, the latest big failure? The Occupy movement.
Mm-hmm.
He was outspoken against that.
Wasn't there some comic that people had, this terrorist comic that people had kind of problems with?
Right. I can't remember the name. And that's kind of where I'm going is, if the comic audience has abandoned you, I mean, not abandoned, but again, his name does not carry the weight. Like a Frank Miller comic, when it used to come out, was like, oh my God, you ran and got it. Even if you didn't buy it, you still read it. I mean, it helped I worked in a comic store, but whatever. Now it's like Frank Miller comes out. Okay. I think he even made a sequel to 300 that didn't really do anything. And the reason I mentioned 300 and like the comics part is, Sin City came out, what was a few years later, 300 came out, almost taking the same style. And I mean, obviously different, but with like the imposed backgrounds, the imposed violence, settings, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there you had Spartacus, from there you had this. And then
it was basically like father, like having like a whole green screen universe.
Right.
Like, I mean, back when Sin City came out, it was kind of like you couldn't picture like, you know, almost everything around you being fake. Like it just seemed like it was just this foreign, you know, idea. Now it's kind of like, you know, it's the norm.
Yeah. And I think the cool factor, which is what I think carried a lot of the first Sin City, was how cool it was. Like we haven't seen something like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just, and this isn't like a criticism. It's just how it's the same old, same old.
Yeah.
There was nothing different technology-wise or look-wise from the old one to the new one. And it's by design because you want it to be like this is the universe it's in. But after seeing all the technological advances, all the movies who have aped the same technology, the same styles, it almost would have been more impressive to film it in a regular fashion. Maybe? I don't know. That was just kind of a think out loud thing.
Yeah, I don't, with the crowd that you're trying to get, I don't know if you try to do a movie in a regular fashion, it kind of look, even more ridiculous than it is.
True.
I
Yeah.
don't think you can do it in like really, because even with this, it's kind of like hyper realism and it's almost like borderline cartoonish, but it fits the style. You try to do it in a normal way, then it's just, yeah, like a train wreck, basically.
Well, there
More of a train wreck than what, occurred. So.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a train wreck, but you mentioned it yesterday, and I can always tell when a movie's just okay because no one talks after it. And there's a difference in a theater when it just goes, and you're just gasped, like, what did I just watch? And you're kind of st it's, you're stunned basically. Instead of just going, all right, I saw a movie.
Yeah, this one was kind of like people were like, oh, it's okay. I like Eva Green's tits.
Okay, we'll save that because
Yeah,
that's
so
just.
that was kind of thing. Like, my wife liked it more than I did.
Yep.
Her only, she had a few questions about the stuff because she had watched some of the first one, but she didn't watch the whole thing. So it's some stuff that happened that she couldn't, she didn't know what was going on.
Right.
But she didn't have any preconceived notions or anything. She didn't have really compared to the first one. Yeah, I was kind of like, is there ever a way you can enjoy a movie and be disappointed by it at the same time? Because that's kind of how I felt.
I think if you have high expectations and it comes below your ridiculously high expectations, but I didn't have any going into this. I actually went into it thinking, this will be okay. And that's exactly what it was. But I agree with you though, or I'm in the same boat. The girl liked it more than I did. And she could tell we didn't even talk about it at all. On the way out, we're like, "All right, what do you want to go do?" There was no discussion about the movie, which is never a good thing. And I think, well, how did you put it yesterday? It was fine, but it was empty. And that's you nailed it. That's how I felt watching it the whole time. Like, all right, and getting to like the thing that kept me interested was trying to keep the timelines in check.
That was kind of messing with me a little bit.
But then once I figured out the timelines, I'm like, okay, that was the trick of this movie.
It
And
was
now.
at the timeline, but then it's one particular storyline that kind of, if the timeline from the second one fits, it makes parts of the first movie seem real weird. And it's that whole thing with the Jessica Alba timeline. Like, I'm assuming, so that one happened, after Bruce Willis dies. But before Marv dies.
Right. That's what threw me off a
Yeah,
bunch.
so I'm kind of like, I get that part, but then it's kind of like, if you rewatch the first one, it's like, okay, it's a lot of stuff that happened in the second one that kind of messes up the first one a little bit timeline-wise with her character.
I always see, I took the Marv stuff as the electrocution didn't work. That it was just something that wasn't explained. And now I haven't read the Sin City the comics or the graphic novels in ages. So it could be that he was dead and it was just in the past. But he gets all shot up, stabbed, whatever, survives it all. So I'm like, why would and didn't in the original Sin City he gets zapped and it doesn't say, is that all you got? Or something like that.
Yeah, then they get him again, and then they say he's gone.
Yeah. And I'm supposed to believe that?
Well, I
Yeah.
think from the comics, he is supposedly deceased, if I remember
Okay.
correctly. So, And that's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of we bouncing between the first move. Like, if he's dead, then that even in that whole storyline kind of mess up. Like, you see how he interacts with Jessica Alba in the first one, and then it's like, all normal. You didn't think like she had this big transformation. So it's almost like, she became something, then went back to how she normally was.
Yeah. And then Bruce Willis just shows up in the mirror whenever he wants. Is that part of her transformation? That the Nancy stuff in this was the weakest part of the movie. But it wasn't the most head scratching. What was the point of the Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I'm so glad you went there because I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, one of the things I like about Sin City was like kind of everything was linked, and even if you didn't really pay attention, like stuff, everything mattered to something else. I guess that's to show that, Powers Booth, like Senator Rourke's like, a bad person. Like, I already knew that. So other than that, it seemed like it didn't serve any purpose. It's like they just needed something to kind of fit in the story. And watching that, I'm not, it's funny, like I'm a fan of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, but I can understand why he gets on people's nerves. It's just a certain like smugness he has. And from the moment he stepped on the screen, I noticed that. And it just kind of like, I didn't want him to have to take me out the movie, but he kind of took me out the movie a little bit. Like, it just, because it seemed like it's kind of, the story just didn't, I was waiting for the punchline. And then, basically he's this magical card player that's always lucky. He wins a bet, even though he was telling him to back off. He gets his fingers broken. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's gonna come back and get revenge with like Marv and what's his name? Dwight. But then he goes back, gets healthy, plays cards again, you see him losing on purpose, and then wins in the end just to prove that he beat him, and then gets shot. And then that's it. Kind of like, I want everybody to know that I beat you. He's like, okay.
There was no payoff. Now, when he said that he knew it was his son and that there's a bunch of them out there, that was the only thing I thought was supposed to be important because was he a senator, I believe? He repeatedly kept saying that he only had one son, but the character's name was Yellow Bastard. But then apparently all these other kids are bastards too. So was that not really his son and that was a bastard child?
No,
Or.
it's kind of, they called him that because that's what he basically became. So it's always like they made a big deal in the first movie, like, this son could have been president, and Bruce Willis kind of messed it up. But by the time this movie came, like, I realized, it's going to be hard to be president if you're in a nut house. Like, you're a yellow face child murderer. Even now, even I gotta let some dreams die, but that don't mean I'm claiming you. So I don't know. That whole storyline just seemed like something that kind of pad the time off. Cause, well, was it just me, or I think the movie time was 2 hours? It seemed like it was like an 80-minute movie. Like,
No, it was 1 hour and 40.
yeah, that movie zoomed by fast. When it ended, I'm like, is this it? And I
Okay,
was.
see, I have the exact opposite reaction. I thought it was dragging on and on. I was waiting for it to end. And when Nancy shoots Powers Booth, and then it just goes and it says Sin City, I was like, are you kidding? That's like, as much as I wanted to get out of there, I wanted it to end. When that came up, I was flabbergasted. Like, wait a minute, you're not gonna have some other sort of like tie up? That's just it? Because that final scene between the two was so anticlimactic.
He
When
sees Bruce Willis, and that's how she gets the drop on
okay, yeah, magic Bruce Willis shows up, and he's like, "Huh?" And if she shoots, then she gets the drop on him. What? Like, wait a minute. When did Supernatural start to work into this? I understand her seeing him there because, just having your mind screwed up, going through grief, whatever.
Why he see him? That's some like WCW nonsense.
That was like that Adam Rose skit from a few weeks ago, where he sees himself in the suit on Raw. For those who don't watch wrestling, it was really bad. It's as dumb as it sounds. So that didn't make any sense. And the thing is, the bad guys usually win in all the Sin City stories. the senator shoots the kid. Dwight gets, you know, screwed over by, oh, I forgot her name.
Ava Lord.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot her name was Ava. I kept wanting to say that, but gets screwed by Ava. She dies, obviously, but he still, his appearance has been mangled, and, well, willingly, apparently, which that wasn't explained very well either. But it's, so he loses there. Marv, you know, loses with supposedly dying. And then all of a sudden, Nancy comes out unscathed. She gets shot.
And she kind of loses her mind. But yeah, I guess all things considered, she kind of comes off on top. Yeah, that whole storyline was kind of off because one, that's the only kind of loose end that, from the first one. But like you asking Jessica Alba through a lot of heavy lifting and
she can't.
I mean, she's not as bad as some of her brethren, but she's not necessarily good either.
She's there with Megan Fox for me. And
yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they try to get these long monologues like, you know, I smell everything for the first time and it stinks. And I'm out by myself.
Oh, I forgot about that line. Yeah.
You know, I used to be like these other strippers saying, you know, everyone's a loser but me. And all this stuff, and it's kind of like all broke and everything. Well, and when she cut her face, that was disturbing. That was like making me just. Ugh.
I had no reaction to that. That's so weird.
I think I was so
put off by the cliche of cutting your hair to show you're going crazy. And I think the problem I have with some of this is, it's a noir movie. It's film noir. They're supposed to be built on old tropes. So, like, going insane, cutting your hair, all that stuff, that's an old trope. But I'm just tired of seeing that. So I had a hard time accepting it and being like, oh, wow, she's really gone crazy. Instead, I was watching this going, oh, God, really? Another person just changing their appearance. And then she starts cutting herself, and I was still stuck on the hair cutting. That's just me personally. But so it didn't carry the weight like it did with you.
Yeah, it just kind of creeped me out just whenever you see that. But the whole thing was, here was the biggest problem I had with this movie, and that storyline's part of it. And why I say it was so empty. Like, the first movie, not only, like, who was, like, carrying the main storylines, it was a supporting cast. It was a lot of actors they had that was doing, like, a lot of lift in the background. Like, even if it's small roles, like, you know, Benicio del Toro, Michael Madsen, Brittany Murphy. Like, it's a long list of names that's kind of like, they might not have a big role, but they were credible enough actors to kind of lift the atmosphere. This one was basically like almost a two-man show. Like, you know, you had Marv and you had Ava Lord. Like, you know, like you talked about, Rosario Dawson barely showed up. Jamie King was barely there. It was basically like each storyline like it had like three or four people.
Yeah, and I didn't think it needed the. It wasn't crucial to the story, but they showed the. Jamie King. They showed her and her twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, we get it. That's from the first one. What threw me off was that Miho was played by a different actress.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. I mean, I know it's probably not their fault they couldn't get the girl, but I didn't like that. I thought the other girl was better.
Why couldn't they get her?
There's another Fast and the Furious movie she may have to be in the background of.
I know she's going to show up on Arrow. Like, she's supposed to show up as Katana in that series. But other than that, she has not been – like, her last movie was about – 3 years, but was there some movie with Jason? Was it Jet Li and Jason? Was it War? She was in that. Like, she is not
long ago.
Yeah, she hasn't necessarily been that busy. Like, I know she's showing up on Arrow, but I'm like, I can see why they replaced with, you know, Michael Clark Duncan because he died, and like Dennis Haysbert was a fan. But yeah, I'm a fan of Jamie Chung, but she didn't fit that role.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Dennis Haysbert. It's Haber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How isn't that guy a bigger star? And I know he does Allstate commercials, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, because he's Allstate.
That guy's voice alone, he should be doing voiceover work all over the place. And he was the president on 24 for a few seasons and gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was on some show on CBS.
That military show.
Yeah. The Unit.
Yeah, Unit. Yeah.
And then And obviously he played Serrano in Major League.
Yeah, way too exhale. Like, he's been around. He's
Yeah.
done a lot of stuff.
I saw him in this goofy movie called Suture. And I have a hard time remembering why it happened, but the movie starts off, the main character is a white guy. He gets in an accident and comes back as Dennis Haber. And no one acknowledges it. It's just, oh, you're back from the dead. They just change character in the middle of the movie for no reason. And that's always bothered me. I'm like, this guy's a tall black dude with a totally different voice. I understand maybe you're trying to do a social commentary on, race and whatever else in your movie, but I'm sorry, that's impossible to ignore. But yeah, but he was really good in that. I don't get, like, what's he doing wrong, or what did he do wrong?
Nothing. It's a limited, you got time frame. It's a limited number of spots for a minority actor. You
Yeah, you know
had
why? Because all those fucking rappers keep taking spots.
It's like, you got, keep in mind, you had Denzel Wesley Snipes taking the main stuff. You had Lawrence Fishburne taking the secondary stuff. And you had Keith David doing the voice stuff. So he's competing with voiceover. Like, as good as he is voice-wise, Keith David's better. So I best, it's kind of like, I guess he did all the stuff Keith David didn't want to
Well, that's true. Keith David has a pretty good voice. And then poor Ernie Hudson's just sitting on the outside, like, I was in Ghostbusters. Can I
Yeah.
get something?
I was in Ghostbusters in Congo, so.
Oh, God, Congo. Forgot about that. No, I don't know. I thought he was great in the movie. Just he's talking about, like, oh, you're going to be a good adversary. Or. And then
He
he.
just smooth.
Yeah, and then he gets killed. I'm like, that sucks. He should have been like, yeah, no, I'll team up with you guys. It's cool.
He didn't die.
Wait, yes, he did.
No, he didn't. He was just in traction. Because remember, that happened before the actions of the first one. That's why Michael Clark Duncan had the plastic guy in the
Oh
first
my God, I'm
one.
dumb. That's right.
And that's why he used to say, I used to serve such and such, and now I have a new master. So
That's right. All right.
he just got put in traction.
That's right. I got my timeline of this movie messed up. I thought he got shot. All right, never mind. Okay, that makes sense, but. Yeah, look. Yeah, going back to your whole spots thing. Look what happened. Michael Clark Duncan, his spot got permanently removed. That's harsh shit, man. He was the simple black guy in Green Mile. How can you do that to him? He was in Green Mile, right?
He was in, that's where he got his Oscar nomination
Okay.
from.
How silly is that? Michael Clark Duncan got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, sometimes you look at the list of some people who've been nominated for Oscars and won Oscars, just kind of like right place, right time. So,
Yeah, there was nothing else this year. Well, it's the Oscars. They got to throw one out every year. It's usually in the supporting actress category or supporting actor category, though.
that's still kind of a, that's an oddball nomination. So, but yeah, he was that Mike, Dennis Haber, he was great in that role, and that was kind of a tough role to fill because Michael Clark Duncan was great in the first one. I guess we can go ahead and talk about that storyline. Yeah, I'm just gonna say this. Ava Green has what I call like Kevin Spacey syndrome, where if she's around people that's as good as her and she's like playing like a regular role, then she's just fine. But if she's in her wheelhouse and you know her level, she just blows everyone out the water. And she did it in this movie, and she did the same thing that 300 movie. Like, she's just a force of nature. And it's just kind of like, it is noticeable. Like, whenever she shows up on the screen, all your eyes go on her. And like, my wife even noticed, like, when, her eyes turn green and, it was just awesome. Like, that whole storyline. Cause it was campy as can be, but that's her, that's her. She can play that role better than I think anybody walking. And she
Okay.
embraces it.
Okay, great. She acted. So let's talk about her being naked most of the time. That's great. That was the selling point of this movie, 'cause
She doesn't mind taking her clothes off,
no,
so.
thank God. I mean, the reason I want to talk about her being naked, because first, it's great. All right. So I need to preface what I'm about to say with this. She could have been naked the entire movie, and it would have been wonderful. All right. But after a while, they kept lighting her like a Playboy spread. There were No curves anywhere on her. Her skin was just perfectly smooth everywhere. It didn't start that way, so I was trying to figure out if that was on purpose.
I think it was supposed to be.
I would hope so because it's she started off and you saw wrinkles and I was like, God damn, that is amazing. And then by the end, I was like, really? Is there work done here? Because this doesn't look like the same stuff. I was still, I mean,
Yeah.
still
No,
love
she
her.
was she her parents changed throughout that part of the story. It's kind of like, gradually, like she seemed kind of like battered and through the ringer. And then as she got more confidence, dicking people around, she almost became not even a person anymore, like just a symbol.
Yeah, and I also think I forget about the time change that went through it too, which they did a pretty poor job of explaining. They didn't explain why Dwight changed his appearance. You can't say it was the infiltrate.
No, I think it was part of, his face was so mangled. They wanted to, like his eyeball was basically about to fall out of his, socket.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, we got to fix his face and this doing it in a whorehouse, so to speak. So I don't know what type of doctor they want to have. And part of it, I guess, is kind of fit to have him look more like Clive Owen looked.
Okay, yeah. What amazing plastic surgeon in a whorehouse do they have on retainer? Because they went from making him look like Josh Brolin to Clive Owen. Okay, so you're going from rugged handsome to English rugged handsome. That's annoying. But no one ever talks about the beauty thing for men in movies. There would be the argument to start. That's ridiculous. If they would have changed him to look at like, I don't know, like Giovanna Ribisi or something, then cool. But really, you went from rugged to smooth. It's like, fuck you. Smith.
It's kind of almost like they were their hands were tied because they were slaves to the story, and they had a different actor doing it. So it's kind of like you knew they always made a big deal in the first one, like I'm a killer with a changed face, and they never talk about why he changed his face. So when you and then you have Josh Brolin playing him in this one, so it's kind of like you gotta have it to a way where you see why he looks like Clive Owen, and they make some kind of sense in
Yeah.
this a Sin City thing.
Yeah, it seems like that's what Dwight's character turned into, though, was a bunch of throwaway lines. I mean, there's obviously more to him in the original, but in this one, it was like, I can never let the monster out. Never let the monster out.
It was
It's
just,
like, why?
yeah, because it's kind of like you see a little bit when he gets out about the. Here's the thing that bothered me with it. It's not like Josh Brolin's fault. It was kind of like Mars' character. It was almost like he was just Mr. Fix-It. And
Right.
both storylines, it's kind of like I'd rather see him beating up people and cracking jokes about coats than seeing, Josh Brolin mope around because Ava Green threw it on him and they kicked him to the curb, or Jessica Alba doing her emo act. Oh, Bruce Willis left me, boo hoo hoo, let me headbutt America drunk. So, that's all well and good, but when you got Marv running around being cool and being fun, I'm gonna keep my eyes on him. And it wouldn't be a problem, but he's supposed to be a supporting character. And that's the biggest thing. Like, when the main characters in the first one are supporting characters in the second one, and they're outshadowing the main characters in the second one.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. That's why I was just kind of silent. I'm also trying to, I'm going over some of the other cast lists. Ray Liotta was in this for a cup of coffee. How nice.
And Tempo. Miss, yeah.
Yeah, Lady Gaga taking the Brittany Murphy part.
That's who that
Yes.
was. That's who that. Okay, because she
Yep.
looked familiar, and I couldn't picture her. I couldn't picture what. Because I knew she. I was reading the credits, and I knew she was in the movie. And I was like, I thought I saw that face. I couldn't picture it.
Yeah,
So,
and
and my funniest thing was Christopher Maloney. This that whole storyline. Mr. Straight-Laced Cop, and I'm gonna do it by the book. I'm a married man, and he fell fast. And it's just because I just think like Mr. SVU just falling for a dame.
that's what I'm trying to figure out. Was that just to show how seductive she is and
Basically.
any man succumbs to her? I mean, I know he kind of like, and most
Because
of it.
he was Mr. By the Book, straight-laced, and then by the time she was done with him, he's cheating on his wife. He blew his pocket. partner away. He blows his own brains out. Just been like, you know, I know what type of man I've become, and I can't help it. So I guess that's to show how much power she had. And then I guess it's the just to show, you know, how hard it was for Josh Brolin to do what he did at the end of the scene.
Yes, and I think that's part of it. It wasn't you weren't allowed to make any decisions for yourself about characters. Everything was explained. Like the whole Christopher Maloney part, do we really need that? Couldn't we have just been able to figure out that she's got something that all men just fall for her?
Nah, you know, it's comic 101. They got to have Dennis Haber do a monologue like she's a goddess that steals the souls of men. Oh, this mess.
Like, oh, yeah, she is, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I'm seeing her swim in the pool, like, I get it. So, like, I kind of got that. But it was just, I don't know, it was out of the storyline. I think that one was the most enjoyable because it, you know, it had parts to the first movie. But it just seemed like kind of wasted, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got to talk about Mara's character. This whole thing is like, you know, he's friends with everybody. He knows everybody. So it made sense, like him and the white, I guess, know each other. And then the white passed this whole line, like, you know, I don't care if he dies. If I don't kill him. It'll be somebody else. Like, who cares if I'm using him? Like, basically making him out like a dick. And then Mara just basically saves his life in the funniest way possible. It's kind of like, you know, Mara's the only guy like a redeemable quality in the whole movie. And he's a maniac.
Yeah. I don't know. The Marv character in this one, just too much.
I think it's one of those cases, you know, they like him, like, He was one of the best characters in the first movie. And I guess, you know, Bruce Willis, he wasn't going to do too much with him anyway. But Benicio Del Toro wasn't there. It's kind of like, you know, who else is likable that can do heavy lifting, but the story's not around?
Yeah.
And it's basically him.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other movies that made the same mistake. Like, you got a good fringe character. And I know what you're saying is you kind of get forced into it.
Movie. There's a thing that's the Urkel syndrome.
Okay. I see the similarities, for sure. That'd be more of the Stefan character, more so than the Urkel character.
But, you know, it's a fringe character that just ends up taking over, you know, scenery.
Yeah.
And see how that started, so.
On a total aside, the movie came in eighth place. Mm-hmm. It made $6.477 million. Guardians of the Galaxy was number one, which actually became the highest grossing movie this summer.
How about that?
Yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was two. If I Stay, is that the girl with cancer movie?
No, I think that's the girl that her parents died in a car accident and she's in a coma.
Oh, all right. Let's Be Cops, which looks awful. That's made $45 million, though, so what do I know? When the Game Stands Tall?
Yeah, that's some football's basically story thing.
Is that the one based out of LaSalle in California, I think?
Yeah.
The Giver? Oh, that one. Okay.
That was with, who was that?
Jeff Bridges.
And Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
Slumming it with some teenagers.
Well, that's actually Jeff Bridges. He was on the Nerdist podcast and said that he wanted to make that years ago.
Okay.
That was his labor of love, and somebody else did it, so he said he wanted to be in it. So that's why.
Yeah.
So it's Jeff Bridges. He can do what he wants now.
Yeah, sure. It's kind of like, you know, I'm in Jeff Bridges. Speaking of do what he wants, if we got enough time, I guess we can move toward Expendables 3.
I was just about to say, and that's why I brought it up. Expendables 3 came in at number 7, $123,000 more than Sin City.
Yeah.
And then followed out by The 100-Foot Journey. Into the Storm rounds out the top 10, a movie that my mother gave two thumbs up to. Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, that was fun. So
it did look like goofy fun, and I wish it would have been in a IMAX theater. I would have gone to it.
Oh, it probably looked awesome in IMAX. It was basically like, you know, gussied up sci-fi flick.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. So
like, sci-fi movie with better acting, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's Rest Bushes is not saying that much, but let's talk about Expendables 3 real. Yeah, I saw that by myself Saturday, and
That's so sad.
no, because my wife wasn't gonna go see that. She's out of town anyway, and it was probably like maybe 10 people in the theater. I saw a matinee.
More people than Sin City for us. We only had six, including
Yeah, it
us.
was more people. Yeah, I was in the same boat too, and that's sad because I saw you saw Sin City the Friday came out. It might have been, and it was like at nighttime, 10:30, and it was maybe 8 people in the movie theater. I'm like, this is not a good sign. But anyway, yeah, I saw Expendables 3, and I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it a lot more than I enjoyed Sin City. Out of the three, it probably had the best storyline and the best acting of the three Expendables movies. It's one of those where the new additions made a world of difference. Like they were all like, Mel Gibson. I got the funny thing about the Expendables, like each movie the villain has gotten better. Like the first movie was Eric Roberts and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's fine. Second movie was Van Damme, and he was decent as a villain. Mel Gibson is embracing his, post Jew hating lifestyle as just being a villain in schlocky movies. Like he was funny in Machete Kills. He was funny in this one, and he was credible. Kelsey Grammer was good in his role, just playing this, crotchety old CIA handler. He had this joke. You know how he had these maulin speeches with these old characters, like, I'm trying to finish my last part of life because I went to the doctor and I had a lump on my lungs, like stage 3 cancer. I got a few months to live, so I'm trying to get money. And you think it's gonna be the so sad part? And he's like, "Oh, just kidding." Like, he made a cancer joke, and it was just so it was hilarious. Like he fit. Harrison Ford was an upgrade over Bruce Willis. No offense to Bruce Willis, but he basically took his role, and he basically made a joke about that. But the biggest thing about the movie, and it's an improvement on the second one, they cut out the whole, oh, I used to be in this movie here, so let's make a joke based on this movie you used to be in,
Oh,
or
okay.
this to do. Like they had a little bit, like they had a joke with Wesley Snipes. I was because basically they broke him out of jail. He made it, he basically like I was in jail for tax evasion. He had a nice laugh and everything. Yeah, him and Antonio Banderas were like the highlights as far as new people. Like Wesley Snipes still has that charisma and that he still has it. Whatever that thing he has, he still has it. And Antonio Banderas was just hilarious, basically playing like almost an Expendables groupie. Like, I want to do whatever I need to do to get on the team. Like, he was comic relief, but he was credible, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it was, and it kind of made some people redundant. Like, Terry Crews was barely in the movie. Like, he gets shot in the beginning, and then he doesn't show up until the end. It's kind of like, if you got Wesley Snipes, you really need, the whole certain amount of people per movie rule. We don't need to go into that. Randy Couture was in there a little bit. Jet Li shows up near the end. Like I forgot he was even, I didn't even know he was even going to be in the movie. Like he shows up near the very end. And then, Schwarzenegger was in there. He had a decent role. The new people they had, like Ronda Rousey was fine. It's always funny seeing like, I guess her and Gina Carano will be fighting for roles. Because they basically play, it's either you're going to be the brunette MMA tough girl or the blonde MMA tough girl. Like, they both had the same level of acting. They had the same level of attractiveness. And they both looked credible fighting. So she was okay. I don't know what this whole, let's this Kellan Lutz action hero phase is. I'm waiting for it to end. Like, stop selling me on this. Like, he was fine in Twilight playing the big, dumb, goofy guy. But they tried to make him a hero in Hercules. And no one saw that. They try to make him like this old tough dude guy, and I'm like, no,
I don't even know who you're talking about. I have no idea who this guy is.
he's this big goofy guy. Like, I don't think you need to see any Twilight movie. He's basically like the goofy muscle in the Twilight
Well, I
movies.
saw the first three, but I
Yeah.
laughed through most of the third one.
Okay, so if you remember like the big goofy strong vampire, that's him.
Okay.
He's in all the movies basically playing like the muscle and like the comic relief, so to speak. I think he dated like either Lindsay Lohan or something like that, or something for like a little bit, or one of those teams. Yeah, so he's in the Hercules movie that The Rock didn't do, and he shows up in this one like being like, I'm the new hero and I got a past and blah blah blah, and it's kind of like, they eating up screen time. Get them off the screen.
That's what the movie from the previews looked like. They were like, "You want to come get the kids?" And there were like 12 of them.
It's four. Yeah, basically what happens
Wow.
is
All right.
they have a mission. Like they starts off, they have a mission. They save Wesley Snipes, and instead of taking him home, they go on to the next mission. Then they run at Mel Gibson's character. He shoots Terry Crews. So Sylvester Stallone's all this, we're getting too old for all this, so it's time to retire. And then he still has to finish his mission. Like Harrison Ford is basically like the CIA handler. So Tom, you still need to finish your mission and get Mel Gibson. So he gets Kelsey Grammer to find a new team to get all these young people. They go on a mission to try to get Mel Gibson. It doesn't work, so he catches all of them. And then basically, I got to get the old band back together to come save them. So,
All right.
and I know you have a pet peeve about PG-13 violence, and this is the first one that was PG-13. It didn't bother me, and I didn't really think about being PG-13 until I watched the first Expendables after this. And the first scene when they're on the dealing with Somali pirates, and Dolph Lundgren shoots somebody and they blow up into six pieces. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So that's what our rated violence looks like. Because, yeah, I'm not necessarily a fan of bloodless violence. It doesn't bother me much as it bothers you. But I kind of like this movie. It didn't bother me too much because they actually seem credible. And that's what people don't really, I don't think I give those movies enough credit. The action is done extremely well. And it's definitely, and you can tell a difference when action stars and athletes do action movies and Robert Downey Jr. does action movies. Like, CGI only takes you so far. If you're a 50-year-old man, you're a 50-year-old man. And it's a different scene, like Liam Neeson jump cut punching people 20 years younger than him. And then seeing like Wesley Snipes, like a black belt in two different martial arts. Jason Statham can really fight. Jet Li's like, people can really fight. That's used to doing action movies, do action movies. Like you don't see that anymore. And just seeing that, and seeing like the scenes and stunts in there is just refreshing. So that was enjoyable. So like I said, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's like I told you. I'll see that one like I saw all the others once it's on Netflix.
Yeah, and it's a shame, like, it's doing the worst of the three. I think part of it was just timing, and then I think it got bootlegged a lot, like 2 weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and
I
I think
still
it
think that
is.
bootlegging thing is a cop out in a lot of cases. I don't. I'm sure it does affect the bottom line. I do not think that the people who bootleg that movie were going to go see it anyways.
Yeah,
I think
I
that
think.
I know Game of Thrones is the most downloaded or pirated TV show on television in television history, actually,
Yeah, but
and it
people
doesn't
still
affect
see
them at
that.
all.
But I think it's kind of like it's different with a TV show. You're gonna watch it over and over again, or if it's a bootleg copy, you'll watch it more than once. But kind of like a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's the thing. It's the same. I don't know what it is. Like Stallone and Schwarzenegger. We kind of talked about it a little bit, I guess, before we wrap up. It's kind of like. They make movies that would, if they came out in the late 90s, they would have been, big movies. But they're coming out now. It's like, if you've seen Captain America and you've seen Thor, it kind of seems quaint. Like, it's not like the movie they're making up. Like Bullet to the Head was a good movie. The Last Stand was good. Escape Plan was, like, the movies they're making now are just fine. But it just seemed like it doesn't fit anymore.
No, I think that genre of the goofy catch, well, yeah, the goofy catchphrase, the really over the top, like especially, I really liked The Last Stand, surprisingly, because the previews were so misleading for that. They made it look like this goofy comedic action movie, and it had its parts, but it had some pretty serious parts in it. Harry Dean Stanton just getting killed out of the blue. I mean, some violent people in this movie. I never saw Escape Plan, and so I guess I'm backing up your point. I'm not going to see these because I just don't know if they're necessary. Like, I don't know if it's necessary for me to spend money on it because it's kind of the same old, same old.
But that's the weird thing about it. It's kind of like quality-wise, they're a lot better than the stuff they made back in the day. It's just kind of like, time, like, it's just weird. They're both in their 60s, so seeing them run around doing this stuff is, and they acknowledge that they're old. Like, Escape Plan is funny because Both of them, it's a very good movie. I recommend that. You got Stallone, Schwarzenegger, and Vin Diesel playing a villain, and 50 Cent is like a computer. But it's just one can see, like, so I couldn't wrap my head around Sylvester Stallone used to be a prosecuting attorney, and then like he's basically played like he's a, like almost like a genius, like he's beating everything with his brain, and it's that conceit
All
like
right, you
they.
lost. Sorry, dude, you lost me on
Yeah,
that.
but no, it fits. It's not like the whole thing. Like it's you laugh the whole time, but the movie does a good enough job where it fits. Like it's believable. I don't know how they like Stallone always like the you know he does that sometimes. Like I'm more than just a muscle guy, and like it's a good movie. And Sabotage, I'm almost finished watching that. That's a very good movie. They market that the wrong way. It's not. They market it. I remember seeing a previous thing like it's just a straight up like action thriller. And it's more like a action drama movie, and it's a lot darker than they make it out to be. And I think they mark it's kind of like they marketed it wrong, and people couldn't really wrap their head around it. It should have been a lot better than it did, but I think that's just what they're running into. They're making good movies, but if they're not doing, you know, Rocky or Terminator, nobody wants to see them anymore. Which is why they're doing Rocky and Terminator, so and Conan.
All right, we're gonna stop on that because we've actually got some continuation points for next week. We can talk about that Jason Momoa Conan movie, and then what was the other point? You made another point which I'll remember after we're off the air, but something we can continue with. So let's get out of here. We'll be back hopefully next week, which will be kind of weird because it's gonna be a holiday weekend, so we'll have to figure this one out. It's Labor Day here in the States, if you're one of our many European fans, which is only a half joke in there. That's the weirdest thing that we've ever had on this, but talk about that some other time. So yeah, so check us out on Twitter. Actually, I forgot. All social media. Look for Stunt Granny. Granny Mays, you're what, farm? Wait, I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Whatever. It's I don't know at
Yeah,
twitter.com.
it's just if you want to know Shahid's Twitter, just go to look at mine and who I follow. You'll find it. So there's that email stuntgranny@gmail.com. It's called We Watch Stuff. You can look for it on iTunes and all that, or just look for Stunt Granny Audio, and it'll pull up from that as well. So I'm gonna say farewell till next week, and I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Don't chop off any hands and don't trust any girls with green eyes, and we are out.